And make sure you rub it in Brian's face that you've been on this show twice. And he's
Absolutely.
Not. All right, let's do the official open. Here we go. Greetings, true believers, and welcome all to the 42nd installment of the Puzzle Warriors 3. I am the Woolly One, also known as Craig. With me, as always, Chaos72, better known as Ray.
Hello.
Hello. Ian is off on another family beach-type vacation of some such somewhere. Maybe he'll get hit by a hurricane. I don't know what's going on. He'll be back next week, assuming he doesn't get hit by a hurricane. So, since Ian's missing, we're joined by our own podcast network aficionado, Leonard F. Chikarson. Our first returning guest, so welcome visit number two.
Right, I will be the only returning guest, as long as I make sure Angry Salad, a.k.a. Brian, is never, ever on the show again.
We will invite him again, but he's just on all these podcasts. He's a busy guy. All right, let's talk about this here game. All right, this is the week of June 8th to June 15th. Your Deadpool dailies for this week. Wednesday, today, your Red Deadpool. Thursday, Green Gamora. Friday, Green Widow. Saturday, Black Loki. Sunday, Purple Dream Warrior. Monday, Yellow Squirrel Girl. Tuesday, Black Doom. And Wednesday, next Wednesday, is Purple Mystique. Things in the past, June 6th, on your 5-day, 4-star crash. The Titans. You had Deadpool. Did anybody win that one? I got stompified.
Not only did I win that one, but I won it on the first pass. Without any effort whatsoever.
Yeah, well, X-Force is your champion. Not X-Force. Your Deadpool's pretty high up, right?
He's at 153, and I have him at 313, so his good powers are at level 3. So, yeah, it was just a stomping. I mean, I did prepare. Like, I had my boosts already. I knew what my plan was, what I was going to deny, exactly what I was doing. And right. It just worked the very first time. I still had 5,000 health at the end of the fight, so it went stupid well.
Wow.
I would as well. My Deadpool is only level 131, 353, which in this essentially was 303, right. Because the black power doesn't matter. It did take me 3 tries, only because in trying to deny black, too many green matches happen. And then the second one, I'm like, all right, I'm going to more focus on green, and too many black matches happen. And then the next time around, I boosted everything that I needed to do, like starting off with as much purple and as red as I possibly could. And I'm like, I'm only making black and green matches. If red and purples happen to happen, they're going to happen. I'm only matching green and black. And it was on the third one that I finally beat him.
Yeah. My Deadpool was level 94. So at 222, I did not spend the ISO on him because I've been hoarding it for a really bad decision that we'll talk about later.
I'm in a similar boat. Yes.
All right. The next one coming up on the 11th is She-Thor versus, I don't know.
Ragnarok.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. She-Thor versus Ragnarok.
We should keep track of these things so that we can
We should. And there's someone on this show at this moment who does keep track of these things, and we should just ask him.
But, I was going to say, if only somebody had a spreadsheet that kept track of all these things.
He does. It should be on a Google Doc somewhere where I could get to it easily.
Yes. I'm getting to it as we speak.
Okay. So mine is also level 94 because I just don't level these people apparently. She's a 143.
Mm.
So I don't think I'll have much luck in that one either, since my one with the highest covers is the isn't that the area attack one?
Yeah, the least powerful. Yeah.
So where are you at? What do you got?
I expect a lot. I currently have her at level 183.
Ooh.
At 524. I use her consistently now with IM40.
Sure.
To just she is a monster when it comes to dealing damage.
For our regular listeners and don't know what an IM40 is, he means battery man.
Yes. Thanks. By the way, we still need to complete that list.
Oh, that's true. It has been requested that we make a list of all the names of things we've given things.
Okay.
Mostly names of things that I've given things, but.
But yeah, you fire off. You fire off Iron Man's charge, and I can get like 2 hits. I don't have her powers in front of me, but her blue power, I can normally get it off twice before the power surge. So I have eight charge tiles across the board, and that makes Smite do, I'm not really sure, but I've seen upwards of like 10 to 12,000 points of damage from a single casting Smite. So
wow,
she is just a, like I said, a monster when it comes to damage. So when she's by herself, it's going to take a lot longer to charge.
Right.
But I still have high hopes.
So I hate to do this.
Oh.
However, as was kind of spoiled privately to Ray, I have a Dying on the Vine Thor cover that's going to die in 8 minutes.
Oh.
So, can I open my tokens now? Because I don't want to sell that Thor token just in case I get the red Thor cover that I need.
Right.
Okay.
All right, you jump ahead, we'll catch up later.
Okay, so I'm opening my latest Legends right now.
Okay.
I got a red Ghost Rider, I could use that. I got a yellow Invisible Woman, that's getting sold.
No.
Now, five classics are getting open.
Wow. It's going all hog here.
First one, War Machine, green, I'll take it. Why is War Machine in classics? Anyway, I'll still take it.
How did you get it? Yeah, he shouldn't be in classics yet. He just came out.
No, he should not.
War Machine's a four star. What are you talking about?
But he just got introduced. He should be in latest, not classics.
No, that only applies to five stars.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, right, sorry. Yep.
Red Hulk. I could use that. Blue Teen Jean. I could use that.
Yeah, Teen Jeans are always good.
It's purple. It's another Phoenix cover. It's purple Phoenix.
Oh, nice.
I could use that too. Last but not least, a green Cho.
All right, so,
sadly, my yellow Thor cover has to die in the vine. Bye-bye.
Oh, that's so sad.
Oh, that is sad.
And we'll get into the rest of my Dying on the Vine stuff here shortly.
Okay, but sell that one off.
I just didn't
want
to lose that cover.
Yep, sell that one for cash.
All right.
Sell it for cash.
So in the meantime, where do you actually have her at? I know you need red.
She is at level 209, 255. So she is a great support piece. You know, and a lot of like when I need to breeze through a PvE, I'll use her, Old Man Logan, and Phoenix, and I'll just crush the world. Like, I could beat, like, the jobber nodes, like, the first three or four nodes of a PvE with that trio in, like, four moves. It's ridiculous. And she was, like, honestly, she and Hulkbuster Iron Man were the two people I really wanted to champion tonight. But, again, I needed that red cover so that I could champion her. The yellow cover would bump her up. I didn't get it. Here we are.
All right. Well, that's sad that you didn't get to save it.
I knew it was going to be cutting it close. I'm really sorry to throw off the flow of the show. I really am. But I didn't want to have it expire.
Well, yeah. If some jerks hadn't talked about other stuff for half an hour, it would have been later in the show. The time would have worked out better, but you know how it is. All right, so back on track. Story events. What's running right now? Venom Bomb. Venom Bomb is up and running at the moment. 17,500 will get you a purple Kamala Khan. 42,000 for your 25 CP. Top 10 folks get a Teen Jean, and 11 through 200 is one of the besties ever, Iron Fist. Then coming up is Enemy of the State, which we will talk about more shortly. 64,000 gets you another Iron Fist. 116,000 for the CP. Top 10 gets you X-23, and 11 to 200 is Mohawk, featured in that their X-Men Apocalypse movie. Your PvP events. Cover Squirrel happened while we weren't paying attention. 800 got you a Purple Squirrel Girl. 1,000 for Carnage. 1,300 for the CP. First spot was Cyclops. 2,300 for Gray Suit covers. So now Hollow Point Kiss is up and going. 800 for the Red Gray Suit. 1,000 for another Cyclops. 1,300 for the CP. Top spot gets you a Kate Bishop. And 2 through 100 are Magneto covers. So the new season is up and going. I don't think we mentioned this last time. So this year for Simulator, 900 gets you a Punisher, 1,200 to Doc Ock, 1,400 Battery Man, 1,700 for Luke Cage, and 2,000 points will get you the War Machine cover. So that'll be nice. That'll get me another War Machine cover, which I'll be looking forward to.
Yeah, I don't have War Machine, so I'm not actually looking forward to that. But I'm sure by the time I get there, I can have the 1,000 hero points that I need.
Oh, so you have him? Oh, you don't? Oh, that'll be how you'll recruit him. Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't have him at all. So
you didn't get him in the PvE?
Nothing.
Oh, man, that stinks. So you guys mentioned last week, you know, obviously there was the roster split, the alliance split. How did you guys, how did your roster, or how did your guys' alliance do with the cover squirrel and the 21 guns.
I don't know. You would think that we would pay attention to that, but you'd be wrong.
Actually, I have started actually paying attention to that since we're not going to have Leonard keeping track of everything.
Okay.
You know, we're doing exactly what I expect. We said that it's a casual alliance, so we had, you know, half dozen players get 400 or 500 points. We don't have anybody who's really, you know, high scoring. And then on the cover squirrel, it went way downhill. Hardly anybody really put a lot of effort into it. I think our high score was like 361. And
I didn't play it much.
Yeah, we had maybe half the alliance who got over 300. But that's about where I expect.
Yeah, I didn't play. I played very little in the past few days. So last night I was out at the, you know, at the movies, and then I went drinking with my cop buddies. And
right, so. And Ian's been on vacation, so he's not doing well. He actually played Cover Squirrel, but he's not been doing a whole lot.
Yeah, I played enough to get the token at 300 points, and then that's as far as I bothered.
Right. However, I hear that the Long Box Heroes did really well.
We did good in these two events, you know, because we got so close for 21 guns, not as close for Cover Squirrel. But there was a point where I think whatever slice we were in, we were like 90-something place overall. It would have been the first time that we finished above 100, which gets you that extra cover for that character.
Right.
And we ended up, I think, with 21 guns like 112th and with Cover Squirrel 116th.
Oh, so close.
Right, we're getting close. You know what I mean? And I think once like the new group gets into the groove of things, it gets to, like, characters that everybody else has and, you know, whatever it is. Because, you know, I think 21 guns sometimes is tough because a lot of people either don't have the character or don't, like, you know, because you get the freebie character, which I love using because it saves you a health pack, of course.
Right. Yep.
But he's not as powerful and everyone's kind of at the same level playing field. And then you're based on whoever's boosted or whoever you have for your other two. And that could, you know, prove more of a problem than not. But I think once we get into the swing of things with the Alliance, we'll be hopefully getting much, much closer to getting over that 100th place. But again, for me at this point, like, if we get it, great. It'll be awesome. If we don't get it, you know, we'll get there eventually.
But I saw that there were, what, 4 or 5 people who scored over 1,000 points?
I think so. And I think we did that for 21. No, that was 21 guns.
Okay.
21 guns, we had a ton of people that got over 1,000. This one, it was just me and Brian, I think. It was like, I had 1133, Brian had 1108, and then the next was 838.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people didn't do so great in this one, I think only because a lot of people, for whatever reason, just don't like Squirrel Girl. I think Squirrel Girl is awesome. And, like, both the character in-game and, you know, everything else about her. The comic is good, in-game I think the character is great, and I think a lot of people just don't have her rostered. Or don't have her rostered strong enough. Like, oh, I have a bunch of covers, but I never put any ISO into her, so she stinks.
Right.
Like, one of those sort of things, you know?
So, on that line, I do actually have her champion now, and I have to ask, what is the best build for her? How do you use her?
I personally use her, and again, I'm just getting into my roster here, where I see her. Right now, I have her at 4-5-4.
That's what I have mine as well.
Yeah, but I do play with them sometimes. Like, that's what I keep her at her base at. But obviously in this, I was using her with Phoenix and Old Man Logan, so I wasn't going to be using her yellow as much. So I moved her just for the event to 3-5-5, because I would never use her yellow. Right. I would always be using Old Man Logan's yellow,
right.
And Phoenix's green only comes up after she dies, so I was basing it there. But 4-5-4, I think, is a good balance for her.
Interesting. Okay. I still stick with the fact that I don't like the character. I hate the fact that they just put unbeatable in front of her and therefore she can't be, you know, she can win any battle or whatever. I think it's just a little silly. Well, and she is silly. She, you know,
right.
the animation, whatever. That's the kind of thing.
Iron Man's always been invincible.
But not really.
Well, but that's what's in the title of the book.
Right, but in Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, that literally means she's unbeatable. She's defeated everyone she's ever gone up against.
He's invincible!
He's not invincible.
That's because he's a loon.
Like the tick.
I'm invincible! You're a loon.
Everyone needs a cool adjective. Like, Ant-Man right now is the astonishing Ant-Man. Is Ant-Man all that astonishing? Kinda. I like Ant-Man a lot, but not everybody else thinks that, you know?
If you're talking Pym Ant-Man, yes. If you're talking 2-bit thug who gets the Ant-Man suit, no.
Oh, I like the I like them all. If you wore an Ant-Man costume, I like you. There's a third Ant-Man even, Aaron O'Grady, who's even more of a thug than Scott Lang, and he was the irredeemable Ant-Man.
Oh.
And that's a great run on a comic book as well. I think he's dead. I think, like, he was on some sort of covert Avengers team and then decided, like, I'm going to betray you guys and join Hydra, and then Hydra killed him.
Oh, well, you know, that'll happen. So as I'm looking at we were talking about Squirrel Girl's powers here. Here's my thought. I'm going to try this. I'll get back to you next week. I'm going to team her up with Carnage so that the enemy gets a pile of special tokens on the board, and then I'll just nuts from above them to death.
Yep. Another good thing is pairing her up with Patch.
Do Berserker
Rage. You do
Rage.
Her, you do Patch, you do Loki, right? You build up the purple, you build up the green, you build up the black. You have Patch do his Berserker Rays, put out all the enemy strike tiles. You have her nuts from above, and then you do Loki to switch them all back to defend tiles for yourself.
Yeah, that's a good plan. So I'll give this a go. I think I want
to
try.
To work as many angles as you can with these characters.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try with Carnage, because I don't use Carnage all that often, but and then somebody who can heal. Probably Kamala Khan.
Kamala Khan.
Yeah, it'll probably be Kamala Khan.
Kamala Khan, another awesome character.
Oh, tremendous.
Yeah, definitely.
Still dumb animation, and that stupid ding noise drives me insane. But can't debate the in-game power.
There you go.
All right, we touched about this, the freebie character. So you should have all gotten to play with Kate a little bit as your freebie character in the story event there. What'd you think of her? I thought she came off strong. Stronger than I expected. Some of her attacks did a fair amount of damage.
True. I guess I think it was because she was boosted in that, though.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if you want me to get into the listener comments, but let me just tell you, a lot of people don't agree with you.
Yeah. I'm not saying she's great. There's worse characters.
There was my opinion was she was completely mediocre.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you now. I completely agree with Bri the Fry Guy, who said, "I know you can be overwhelmed and you can be underwhelmed. Can you just be whelmed? I think with Hawkeye, she just whelms me." That's exactly where I'm at. It's just okay.
So I guess he's feeling gruntled.
Exactly.
I don't think she's terrible. I like some of the different things that they're doing. Like, obviously, people are lamenting. It's like, oh, her anti-healing thing is too much AP, or, you know, she's doing a thing that does damage to herself, or whatever it is. All those things are fine complaints. My biggest complaint is, you know, as you guys had mentioned last week, that you weren't even aware that there was a second Hawkeye. The book that she appears in has such a stylized art style that's really the only place where I've ever seen her. She's popped up in other books, Young Avengers and the like, but that's been her primary book. So I'm so used to seeing her look that way as she's drawn in what most recently ended up as the run on Hawkeye by Matt Fraction and David Aja. When I see her in the game and she looks like a character in the game as opposed to how she's been drawn in the comic for the better part of the last 3 years, it's like, that's not her. That's not the right character. Like, the look throws me off, you know? Mm. They even have Pizza Dog in there just peeking out from behind her. I wish they would have incorporated Pizza Dog into one of the powers, but alas. Yeah. Once I get more covers, I'll probably be able to get a better feel on her. I only got the one, but, you know, we'll see what more we get from here.
Sure.
All right. In news that's very old at this point, because you should already know all this stuff, but it came out, like, literally right after we published last week's show. The 5-star drop rate and ISO amounts have changed. So, in case you didn't catch it last week, there are now increased odds of 5-stars in Legendary packs. 5-stars in Latest and Classic Legends is up to 15%, up from 10%. So, that is now a 5%, up from 3.33% in Latest Legends, and 3.75% in Classic Legends, up from 3.33%. So, it's a nice feature. Gets you some more 5-star pulls. What else we got?
All the ISO changes.
All the ISOs. Sellback prices. So, if you now sell back your max champion level characters, you now get better rewards. Before, it really wasn't worth it at all. Now, if you sell back a level 144 2-star character, you will get back 65,000 ISO. Under the old system, it was 17,000 ISO.
Ugh.
17.5. But so that is a huge difference there. Takes away a lot less of the pain, although I still don't know that I'll ever be able to live with myself and sell off a max covered person. Right. A max leveled person. I just don't think I can do it.
A week ago, I would have said the same thing. I may be selling one on the show tonight.
Wow.
We shall see. I don't know.
And I meant to put a link in here, but I forgot because I was in the middle of a work meeting and not really paying attention. But somebody put up on, I think I saw it on Reddit, there was a good breakdown of all the rewards you get for, say, a 2-star. And you don't lose all that much at this point from leveling a 2-star all the way up to get all the progression rewards for champions and then selling them off to get all the ISO back. You're effectively trading X amount of ISO for the tokens and the 3-star covers and so on. So that
I think I saw someone say with a 2-star, like if you were to, like what it takes you to level them up to 144 or to 94.
Right.
And that if you continue with the covers, I think it's like you end up only being out 1,000 overall. Like if you were to, like from what it costs and then you sell them back.
That's a crazy low amount. I mean,
right.
Really.
I'm just trying to see if I can find the post real quick to break it down. I'd completely forgotten that I had wanted to talk about this today until, you know, right now.
That's okay. I can cut out all this dead air, so I won't.
This is the bonus content. But I like how they, while Craig is looking, I like how they also increased how much you get back for selling a 4 or a 5-star that's maxed out. Because I've just got so many maxed out 4-stars, I just need to free up my roster.
Those are useless. I just got to dump that as quick as I can.
Right, and all my champion 5-stars, my champion old man Logan, just taking up space. I don't even use them.
I have seen people with multiple old man Logans. I don't know.
Oh, yes.
It's a possibility.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
We don't want to talk about that guy.
Those people are monsters.
That guy? There's a few.
Yeah, but... All right, so here's a quick thing. Here's a guy saying he did some math. If you keep a level 144 champion 2-star and sell the next 63 covers, which would be your, you know, you receive 15,750 ISO 8 and keep the person on your roster. However, if you sell the 144 champion 2-star and then re-champion them again with those same 63 covers... You receive 7,971 net ISO, 5 heroic tokens, 3 3-star covers, 375 hero points, and 5 command points. So, it's an 8,000 ISO swing.
Right, okay.
But you're getting all those covers and hero points and command points.
Yes.
So, if somebody, you know, I'd have to think, if they told me for 8,000 ISO I could get 5 heroic tokens, 3 3-star covers, 375 hero points, and 5 command points, I would give them 8,000 ISO.
Nope. ISO is way more valuable to me than any of the other...
Nope. Hero points to me is still the most valuable asset because I can never recruit anyone because I never have any.
Yeah. Apparently you have far less luck with hero points.
I don't ever get them out of the Deadpool Daily Vault. Ever. I scrimp and scrounge constantly to get 1,000 so I can roster someone.
And immediately use it.
And I immediately use it. Right now I'm back up to 265 after getting enough to end my dying on the vines from last week. So
I'm torn. I don't want to sell people. You know what I mean? I like having every character in the game.
Right.
It makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I have a worthy roster.
Right.
But I'm in that 3 to 4-star transition. And while I have every 2-star and I have most of them championed, you know, there's ones that I don't use in the Deadpool Daily. I only use 3, maybe 4. I like having them so that I can play that required node in a PvE.
Yep.
But again, we might be doing it tonight. We shall see.
As Leonard mentioned, if you sell off your level 266 3-star, you get 105,000. A level 374 star, 320,000. And if you sell off that level 555 star, you get 500,000 ISO. Up from 180. Still doesn't seem worth it.
Well, the increase is significant, and I'll give them the... If you're looking at selling a character that you do have maxed, at least you're getting something back. Before, there was just no way.
Yeah.
Right? It was so little amount of ISO, there was not... At least now you could consider it. 2-stars is the only ones I might even consider. However, I have 8 champion 2-stars, and I don't need to, but as of right now, I do use every single one of them every day to complete the Daily Deadpool.
You're weird.
Now, I don't need to. I could easily drop 3 of them and still complete it. But I do use them every day just because, you know, I don't use them in the events. I'm never going to use, well, maybe Black Widow. But for the most part, I don't use 2-stars to play my normal fights.
No, just when they're the required character.
Right.
I don't know.
I can't see, right now at this point, I can't see selling any of those off. So.
All right. The most important change is that they increase the amount of ISO 8 you get from a member of your alliance playing from 10 to 100.
Yeah.
That's Woo-hoo! Huge.
So now you're getting 2,000 ISO a day as opposed to 200. That is a huge influx. Thank you very much for that change, because, man, that'll make my life a little bit easier.
That one shut a lot of people up.
Yeah.
Is all I'm saying. A lot of kvetching about the ISO shortage, and then that happened, and everyone's like, I guess it's not such a shortage anymore. All right. We're sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that takes, if you're completing your Deadpool quest every day, that takes it up to 5,700 that you're getting
every day.
Pure ISO every day.
Yep.
That's a significant jump. Yeah. It changes, it actually is going to change how I'm going to deal with my dying on the vine. So.
Okay. And then the latest new info posted Tuesday on the D3 forums is we're now on difficulty scaling test, I don't know, 5? Somewhere in that level. Enemy of the State, which starts on the June 9th, has some changes that they saw from watching the way Rocket and Groot played. So here's the big highlights. No more points regeneration. In both versions of mission difficulty, the amount of points you gain in a mission goes down the more you play them. Once a mission is worth less points, it takes some time for the points to regenerate back to full. We have removed that system so that once a mission is worth less points, it will never be worth more points again. There's now a finite amount of times a mission can be played where you will gain points from it. So that's a big change.
I don't understand that at all. I mean, I understand the words that came out of your mouth. Yeah. I don't understand how that's going to play out.
If it was worth 200 and you played it for 200 and then you waited, whatever, an hour or two, it's not going to be worth 200 again. It's going to be worth whatever it was when you left it.
Right. So, like, whether the respawn of it is 24 hours or 8 hours, when it goes through that full thing, it'll never be 200 again. It might be, like, 199, or it might be 190, or it might be whatever.
Right. Again, I understand how it functions. Here's my problem. You play these events, and you are ranked against other players. So you're telling me that once I get a fight down to where it's not worth any points, everybody is going to be tied for first place because everybody has played it till it's not worth any points. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's only now there's a finite number of points available in any event. So aren't the whales going to be at that level every time?
That's how it sounds, but every time they announce a slight change in the mechanic, the announcement never makes sense to me until I actually play it.
Yeah, see, that's where I'm, to me, that's what it sounds like. I don't get that. Because if somebody, I mean, even somebody at, say, Brian's level, who's just going to grind away at these nodes until they're not worth any points, you're going to get to a certain point where you're just, okay, that's it. That's all the points I've accrued. If the points don't regenerate, you're just going to be done. So I don't understand. I mean, right. Obviously, I think I'm missing something, but
I think where the issue is going to come in is how much they go down by and how long is the time frame before it gets back up to a playable, worthy level. Like, I'm not going to play a node, no matter how difficult or easy it is, if I'm getting 10 points or 15 points or whatever it is. Right. Like, how much time is it going to be to get back up to 50 or 100 or, you know, whatever? I think that's where the key is going to come in. And the fact that we don't know that, those two critical pieces, I think makes it, you know, inability to say it's like, well, this is great or this is terrible.
Yeah, well, we're just going to have to play it and see, I guess.
Right.
I'm at a loss of how that's going to work.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm reading this differently. The way I get it is it's not going to go up ever. Once you play it, it's down. Because the next bullet point reads this way. More missions and more rewards. There is a finite amount of times you can play a mission. So we bumped up the amount of missions that can be played for hard and required character missions to 6 from 4. We haven't changed the starting difficulty for any mission, but we did raise the end difficulty for hard missions. Required character missions will end slightly harder than before. We also increased the amount of rewards that can be earned from a mission to match how many times a mission can be beaten for points. There won't be a time when you're gaining points for beating a mission, but do not receive a reward. So it sounds like if you play it 6 times, you're done.
Yeah.
Well, that's the key. That's an interesting thing, especially since this is Enemy of the State, and Enemy of the State on each wave of it has 2 wave nodes where you only get a prize for the first time that you beat it.
Right, so you always played it again and again just to get the points. Because you could replay the wave for points. You just didn't get a reward. So that's a change. Next, updated missions difficulty details. Again, missions are worth a finite amount of points. Once a mission has reached its maximum difficulty, the mission begins to be worth less points. Every time a mission is beaten while it's at max difficulty, the points in the mission is reduced by 25% of the maximum amount of points the mission is worth to a minimum of zero. The points a mission is worth no longer regenerates over time.
Crazy. I still don't understand. I mean, again, I understand what it's saying. I don't understand how this is going to play out in ranking.
Because people used to optimize their time for letting the points gather up to max every, you know, whatever hour, 8 hours, right, or whatever that time was.
And I'm fine with the fact that they're doing away with that, because I could never do that.
Yeah, I never could either.
I get to play when I can. So my ability to jump in and play as much as I can whenever I can, that I love. I love that they're changing that. I know some people hate it, but I don't.
Yeah. All right, more missions. Each subchapter has a minimum of 9 repeatable missions, 3 easy, 3 hard, 3 required characters. In one-day subchapters, easy missions increase in difficulty 4 times and are worth points the first 7 times they are beaten. Hard and required character missions increase in difficulty 6 times and are worth points the first 9 times they are beaten. Alright, so now we're getting more details. So you can beat some 7 and the hard ones 9 times. Alright. In two-day subchapters, easy missions increase in difficulty 8 times and are worth points the first 11 times. Hard and required character missions increase in difficulty 12 times and are worth points the first 15 times they are beaten. Each mission has rewards equal to the amount of times they can be beaten for points. So now there will be, in the hard and missions, there's going to be 15 rewards, which means when you want to get that one CP, invariably you're going to have to play that thing 15 times.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So that sounds like that might make my head hurt and I might claw out my eyes, but we'll see how that goes. Difficulty changes. No changes were made to easy missions. All missions start at the same difficulty as appeared in Meat Rocket and Groot. Hard missions have a maximum difficulty higher than Meat Rocket and Groot. Required character missions have a maximum difficulty slightly harder than Meat Rocket and Groot. So the harder missions are going to be a little harder, and you're going to have to play them more often to get all these 15 rewards.
Right.
Ugh. I don't know, man. Again,
so it sounds like more grinding?
Just what this game needed.
But I mean, we'll give it a go and report back next week as to how it played out. Because Enemy of the State starts in, I don't know, 8 hours?
Yeah, not very long.
Well, I will pick a different thing, so mine won't start for another day.
Sure.
But the first round of it starts in 8 hours, so I'm sure you'll be able to find people talking about that on Reddit or on the D3 forums. All right, so that's that stuff. Ray, what's in the mailbag?
There was a whole lot, so I'm going to try and cover it very quickly because we are way over time. However, I did mention that there were a lot of people talking about the new Hawkeye. A few highlights. A Random Task 83, I think, summarized it fairly well. He said he didn't understand why people were intrigued by the healing prevention, and here's why. Anyone who stuns a character prevents that character from regenerating. So you've got 2-star Storm that causes AoE damage and stuns for 4 turns. So if you stun someone who regens, you're preventing their healing.
Yes.
Black Widow can stun for 5 turns of 1-star Black Widow. So that prevents the healing. And it's for far less AP than her ability to prevent healing costs. So that's an incredible point. I mean, now, the prevent healing does also prevent any healing, so it prevents Kamala Khan from healing everyone, right, as well as the regeneration that would be happening, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I get his point. Yes, you can always stun Kamala Khan, and then she won't heal everyone.
Right.
So I get it. I understand it. I don't know. It's an interesting new mechanic, and it lets you take down Silver Surfer.
I've never had a problem with Silver Surfer, even the fully covered ones that I've encountered. So.
Well, he can't be stunned, and he heals himself.
Right. Sure.
So, there you go. She can go fight Silver Surfer.
Yeah, it has usefulness. I just think it's limited. The real Mad Salad, who we know is Angry Salad or Brian.
Please stand up. Please stand up.
He says,
"Yay, it's the first singing of the show."
He agrees that the blue power is way too expensive to be useful. Old Man Logan will crap all over you by the time you accumulate those 12 blue to stop him from healing. Again, it just comes back to you need too much. And then Stink Palm said something that I can't disagree with. He's going to sum up why healing prevention sucks. Who wants the fight to last longer? Who would take a heal stop over a big attack? It's a good point. The heal prevention is just going to make your fight last longer, basically, as opposed to being able to deal damage and end a fight sooner. So those are the highlights for the, I think overall it seems a lot of people are negative toward her. I'm not as negative, but there you go. Those are the comments. Some interesting things about the new character. AstroMonkey9 said satellite fight. He equivalented that to Alpha Flight. It's now a space station. Alpha Flight works from. This means that we're finally getting Puck. I'm pretty
oh,
sure
boy.
That's quite a stretch right
oh,
there.
Oh, boy. Snowbird coming in.
Vindicator, the whole crew. Oh, Sasquatch. We'll get Sasquatch.
Yeah, Sasquatch. Yeah, yeah. And what's the Box, right?
Box is the their Iron Man knockoff.
Yeah.
Sure.
He also said, who lives on the moon? The Watcher. A 5-star Watcher is coming.
Oh,
that'd
no.
That'd be amazing. All of his powers wouldn't do anything. It'd be like, Uatu watches from the shadows and writes it down.
D-Wing Illinois came up with a power form that if you activate it, you can make a match and see how the board lands after any cascades, and then you can call a mulligan and reset it back to the way it was before you made that match. I don't think that's happening. All right, I got some more comments from our new Alliance members.
All right, hit me.
Dances with Weevils, who is now a member of our Alliance. Both of these, by the way, are about our suggestion that the new character might be Moon Knight. He said that he always thought that the writers from Moon Knight were trying to say, I swear this isn't Batman. Throwing the croissants and having the utility belt. And he's dressed in white, not black. See, it's not Batman.
Yeah, sure.
And hiding from Muggles said that he asked if we'd seen the new Moon Knight comics. They've apparently revisioned the entire Moon Knight which sounds very interesting to me. So he realizes apparently that he is locked up in a nut house and was just fantasizing about being Moon Knight.
That's correct. And it's really good.
Yeah, I apparently have to go see this because, like I said, I was a fan of Moon Knight in the day, which was, I don't know, 20 years ago. And that sounds very interesting.
Right. And every Moon Knight supporting character is also in the loony bin with him.
Oh, nice.
Hmm.
All right, I'm going to have to go back and revisit that. We got another question from Jackson, who is another member of our Alliance. It's like I'm just quoting things from our Alliance.
Nepotism!
he's had a question about the Crash of the Titans. Does the Titan fight stay available for 24 hours? He said he finally had a chance to fight one of them with his Hawkbuster, but didn't know if he had enough time to actually get the fight done. I believe it's the same as the whole Daily Deadpool, so it stays for the
Resets with your Deadpool Daily at 6 a.m. Eastern?
I don't remember. It's before I get up, I know that.
I think it's 6 a.m. Eastern.
It's 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. It should be available for 24 hours. So stay up as late as necessary. And I have to mention Estlore, who spent a lot of time over the weekend playing his 3-3-1 Chalk to see if he could come up with a scenario which was valuable. Summary, the Too Long Didn't Read, is that his powers are objectively terrible. he could not find a good combination whatsoever. It's actually a good read. If you're interested in what he tried, what he came up with was best was to pair with 2-star Magneto and Storm in order to protect Storm from everything but yellow and use her vastly superior powers, her blue, to destroy people. So just basically using him as a meat shield is all he could come up with. So there you go. That's it sounds like you put a lot of research into it. There were several paragraphs that I'm just giving you the highlights for.
Okay.
But yeah, there you go. That was
hot dogs.
Hot dogs. There you go.
That's all I got. All right. It's time for the feature character of the week.
Feature character of the week.
This week brought to you by Stay Sent Romeos. Listen, ladies, do you need a companion for a nice business function, but you're low on funds? Call Stay Sent Romeos. Romeos. For cheap. Stay sent. All right. This week's feature character of the week is Sue Storm, the Invisible Woman.
Sorry, I'm still trying to suppress laughter. Go ahead.
Fine. Don't laugh at me then, jerk. All right. Sue is a yellow, blue, green character. Yellow power is the ever popular how you win with her in the Crash of the Titans. You make her go invisible.
Yeah.
And things happen. I have always and forever had mine at 155 because that's what I get for her. So I've never actually paid attention to that her invisibility actually gets better. But here's what happens. As it goes up in level, it creates protect tiles. So at level 2, you get a one protect tile of strength 50. At level 3, it's 2 of those. Level 4, it's 2 projectiles of strength 92. And at level 5, it is 4 of those of strength 92. At max level, you get her up to 4 projectiles of strength 184 for a total of 736 damage reduction. So that made her seem better, I guess. The key to that power is that it protects the quote-unquote weakest member of the team. And by that means whoever has the least amount of health when she casts it. Sometimes that's herself, sometimes not so much. Her next two powers are a combo, effectively. You have to do one, then the other. Blue is bubbles for 7. Oh, I didn't say it. Invisibility costs 9 yellow, which is a little too expensive. For 7 blue, Sue focuses her power to lock down the enemy team and save the day. So locks 2 chosen basic tiles and force bubbles, and then creates a blue protect tile of strength 64. As this go up at level 2, you lock 3 selected basic tiles and make a protect strength 86. At level 3, it can lock strike, protect, and attack tiles. Level 4 locks 4 selected tiles and makes a protect tile of strength 107. At level 5, the protect tile goes up to strength 127. At max level, those go up where it becomes a strength 252 protect tile. So you have to kind of do force bubbles first, because you need lockdowned or locked tiles to do her next power, which it costs a sad 12 green for force field crush. This shatters 2 random force bubbles. Does not generate EP. Each force bubble deals 64 damage, and it's unlocked but not destroyed. If there are no force bubbles, you spend 12 green to make 2 of them that are random. Not a good trade.
No.
Level 2, this goes up to 283 damage per bubble. Level 3 is 503. Level 4 destroys 3 bubbles and the tiles surrounding them. So this is now where you can at least get some board shake out of it. And at level 5, it's 1,070 per bubble. So that's, 3 bubbles at 1,070 each. And at max level, she's doing 2,123 per bubble, which is 6,369 kind of damage is what you're looking at there. So it's Sue. She's not that great. She hangs out with Quicksilver. At least in my world, she hangs out with Quicksilver. I make a bunch of blue. Then she blows things up. He blows things up. They blow things up.
So it's a lot of locked tiles that you got going on there.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Like I said, mine's at 155 and has been that way for quite some time. She was my highest level character for a long time at level 192. And she's still at level 192.
Upon listening to this, I'm a little confused. Because you distinctly said that she destroys 3 force bubbles and the tiles surrounding them at level 4 yes. of her force field crush. I only have level 3 of force field crush, and I'm pretty sure it destroys the tiles surrounding them.
Pretty sure.
I mean, that's how I use that. Like, I know that it does, actually. So I'm confused about the write-up on this. I think it's a little inaccurate. I'm wondering if the tiles surrounding them get destroyed when you get to level 3.
I think it's more tiles get destroyed.
Oh, so like, the blasts get bigger?
I think the blast gets bigger is what it is.
Okay.
I honestly couldn't tell you. Like I said, mine has been at the same exact power level for so long that I do not recall the power working in any other way than the fact that I have it at level 5 and that's the way it does.
So when you use Force Field Crush, is it doing, like, how big of destruction are we talking?
It's just all the ones immediately around it, so that's a 3x3.
Huh, yeah, a little confused by that. I don't understand. But
at its higher end, it does do a lot of damage.
Sure, so you're talking, what, 2,000 per?
Yeah, it's 6,369, plus I think you get the damage for the tiles that you blow up.
Right.
So, 7,000 points of damage, rounds about, 6,500.
That's decent, except you have to have 7 blue and 12 green in order to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not an area effect, you're only damaging one person. It is, you can kind of use it as a controller to shuffle the board around, destroy tiles you need to get destroyed, but...
Yeah, I understand it's a new mechanic, but I'd really like to see her work. She should really have something more like Daisy's anti-AoE effect, because she's Sue Storm. She makes force fields.
Right.
Why can't she throw force fields out in front of my people and reduce damage?
Well, that's what the invisibility is supposed to do, but I get what you're saying, that it should be doing more.
Yeah.
They're trying to have her be both an offensive character and a defensive character at the same time, and she's neither.
Right. And she's never... when you think of Fantastic Four, she's not who you're going to for offense. To me, she was always the, I'll go invisible, I'll go do something while the enemy is distracted by the thing and Johnny Storm, while my husband, looks smart in a corner and stretches his arms. And, he stretches his stomach real big and the thing bounces off of him. You know, the weird stuff that they do with Mr. Fantastic and Plastic Man and all those people who just are rubber. I don't know. Force fields are good, but...
My Sue is 445, and she's another one of those ones. Is like, that's just the way those initial covers came to me. I have her at level 156. She will be championed one day, but that day is not today. I can guarantee she will be championed before Cho is, but that's not high praise. Again, she's good, but she's not like... There's such a divide between... the four stars between the four stars, and you can't even say like the old four stars and the new four stars, because if I'm not mistaken, like Nick Fury was one of the original four stars, at least in the first like five or six, and he's awesome.
Yeah, he's really good.
Right. And Sue is also in that early group of that first four or five four stars, and they've changed her because she actually used to be worse than this. Like her powers used to cost more and do less.
Oh, wow. Okay. That might have been before I started playing.
No, it was right around the time, if it was not at the same time that they changed X-Force Wolverine, it was right before they changed X-Force Wolverine.
Yeah, it happened before I had either of them. I know that.
Right, right.
I think I was playing, I'm pretty sure you were playing, Greg, but it wasn't, there were no four stars in our roster at
that
time.
Yeah, so if I was in one and two star land, it wouldn't have made any, whatever.
Right.
I don't know, so no one actually uses Sue Storm in any way?
No.
Yeah, unfortunately not. I use her very, very sparingly. Well, the thing is, we said, even back with Grant Invisibility, that costs 9. It's a little too much for what it does. The fact that her first two powers throw out projectiles, that's cool, but compared to other characters, she's going to be near the bottom of the list. Like you said, she's better than Cho. I might even say she's better than the new Hawkeye, just because... I've been seeing a lot of negativity probably about it, but yeah, just not that great. Like you said, they tried to make her do damage and defense, and she fails at both now.
Yeah, I agree. Again, anybody out there use Invisible Woman a lot? Shout it out to us for next week. We'll see what you got to say. All right, Dying on the Vine. Marr. I don't know why I like that. All right, so I got a conundrum. It's kind of bad, but I think I'm going to do this anyway.
Okay.
I have in my possession Dying on the Vine in 7 days, my 14th Elektra cover. I know there's no reason why I should champion Elektra, but I think I'm going to do it anyway.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
Good. Convince me that I should spend all of the ISO that I will earn in the next year to make this happen. Because holy smokes, is it going to take me all the ISO.
Okay, well, first off, you're now getting way more ISO than you used to. So it won't take you as long as you think it might. However, her Shadow Step ability, I have learned, is really way more powerful than you might think it is. And I got into a little bit of argument about this. I think it was actually Brian who said that, it's not all that good. But, you really consider she is taking zero damage. If you can pay attention to when whoever it is you're fighting is going to be doing that big, massive power, and you just throw out Shadow Step... and then make sure you do a match and she goes in front, the computer doesn't pay attention to this and will do that big, massive, surgical strike, X-Force Wolverine or something like that, and it'll do, instead of doing 11,000 points of damage, it does nothing.
Yep.
And they take damage. It's just way better than I thought. I thought she wasn't that good as well a while back, but I don't know, she was boosted recently, and I used the crap out of her.
Here's my problem, is that Shadow Step is cool. 10 black is a lot of black.
It is. And there are a lot of characters who use black.
Yes, since Ian's not here, there's much better ways for me to spend black.
That is true. I'll give you that.
Double cross is still stupid.
Yes.
I hate that power, something fierce. If somebody thinks it's good, please tell me why. I understand I can steal some strike tiles, but I have to give some back. They're not as good as the ones I get, but I don't want to give them any. There's just other characters who do that kind of thing better. I mean, Ballet of Death to me is her best power, where it just does damage every turn. But it's a one trap tile that gets matched away fairly quickly.
Not only does it get matched away, but it's a trap tile. And trap tiles have a tendency to
get overwritten.
Like, for somebody like X-Force Deadpool, who can throw out countdown for what? Like 5 countdown tiles? Those will just override your traps.
Yep.
And make them go away. So I'm not arguing Elektra's the best. but there are places where she's incredibly useful.
Yeah,
That's all I got.
I get it. But here's my problem is that I've been saving for this. I'm up to 214,000 ISO. I've got 7 days, and I have no idea how much ISO it's going to take because I don't ever try to figure that out. But right now, I can make her level... It stopped at level 258.
Right.
For 291,000 ISO. So it's going to cost me more than that to get her to level 270. Plus, then I'll have to champion her for what? What is it, 12,000?
12.5.
Right. So I'm looking at, I don't know, 350,000 ISO?
I say sell it.
And I need to do that in the next 7 days and 12 hours. So I need to get 100,000 plus ISO in the next week.
Sure. What is your other choice?
Oh, that's it. It's just do I champion Electra or do I just say to hell with it and just dump it? My other choice would be whatever comes up in opening tokens here shortly.
Right. So that's what I say. I say either dump her now, just so that you don't have the specter of her hanging over your head, or wait the 7 days, just in case with what you open today, or maybe you get another day, you get more Electra covers to make it more enticing to do so, or you get covers of someone who you would rather champion instead.
Yeah. All I know is when I've been looking forward to some of my 3-star characters that have been coming up in, like, the Deadpool Daily and such, man, I'm going to end up with a flurry of Star-Lord covers sometime soon. I have, like, so many people who are going to be, if they get one more cover, will give me a Star-Lord cover. And I think Star-Lord is also coming up in my daily resupply. And yeah, in 4 days. He's coming up on day 670.
I understand what you're saying, but, man, I don't like him.
I had no choice but to champion him. After whatever event it was, I ended up having like 3 covers for him. And I'm like, I just can't see myself just selling these covers. Like, that's the reason why when championing began, the first ones I championed were people like Psylocke and Mystique, because I just ended up somehow with like 5 covers, 6 covers for them. And I'm like, I'd be foolish to sell these covers of them. Like, championing is the thing to do, so I bit the bullet and I champion Star-Lord. I never use him. You know, I'll try to use him, but even with the amount of hit points he has, he just seems like he has, like, the glassiest of glass jaws.
Anyway, so what do you guys got dying on the vine?
All right, so here's my situation, and I'm going to try and describe it without influence.
No. I'm with you. I gotcha.
Okay.
So I just was able to... Who did I champion? I actually posted on Facebook, but now I don't remember. Oh, Gray Suit Black Widow. I got her up to 183, which got me my final Nick Fury cover. So I have him at 535.
Yeah.
And I can champion him. But that's going to take, like you said, championing a 4-star. I can get him up to level 250 for 202,000 ISO. So I'm quite a ways off. But at the same time, I really want to champion him. Right.
Yeah.
He would be my second 4-star. I really want to get him there. But at the same time, I have 2 3-stars that I don't have champion, the Punisher and Spider-Man. I just received a Punisher and Spider-Man cover, 1 each.
Yeah.
So for the same amount of ISO, I could champion 2 3-stars with the extra cover to get the legendary tokens.
You get the legendary tokens, yeah.
Or I can just focus on getting my Nick Fury.
I mean, if it's me, I'm going for the tokens. I mean, I love me some Nick Fury, but...
Do you have the 14th cover to add on Nick Fury or no?
No.
Then I would wait. I would do the 2 3-stars.
Okay. That's where I was headed.
Yeah.
But, man, I want Nick Fury.
I know. He's really, really good. But I think where your roster is right now, the bigger... For the people that are looking to that transition, if you have all the 4-stars or all the 3-stars on your team, on your roster, there's no reason you should not be working towards championing all of them, because 3-star covers come up more frequently than 4-star covers.
Right.
And instead of selling them for 500 every time, you could be building 4-stars that way and making those 3-stars existing stronger. And I know there's this scaling thing where the damage doesn't do as much or whatever it is, but eventually those covers that you would be selling for 500 become 1,000, become heroic tokens, become 4-star covers, become command points instead of just 500 ISO.
Okay. That's the path I was heading towards.
Yeah.
Now I'm really heading towards it. So right now I have 125,000 ISO, so I can do Spider-Man right away. He was the first one I got. And then I've got 11 days to get another, I don't know, 80,000 ISO to do the Punisher. And I think 80,000 in 11 days, I think I can do that. So
I'm on board. I like that plan.
Okay, so for me, we've already kind of covered my dying on the vine, and it kind of spilled over into my opening up of legendary tokens.
Right.
So, you know, as I had mentioned from what I got before, I sold the Cho cover. I'm not championing Cho. I sold the Invisible Woman cover. I'm not championing her. Everyone that I could level up, I did. Ghost Rider, War Machine, Red Hulk, who's now fully covered, and I could champion him. But I'm not gonna because I don't have that extra cover for him. I like to champion him and have the extra cover, you know?
Right.
Yep.
Blue Teen Jean and purple 5-star Jean. So we're good to go. So who I can... I have two Wolverine covers that I'm sitting on, but I can't champion Wolverine unless I get a yellow cover, which is also the other thing I was hoping from opening those things. So those covers are immediately getting sold.
Ugh, sad, which, but okay.
Right, but again, I gotta wait on yellow covers,
right,
so on and so forth. I'm here for the immediacy. I'm on the show. We're doing it now. Now, I can champion Ant-Man. I have a cover I'm sitting on. I'm also sitting on a Magneto and Punisher cover, both of which will put them at 183. Magneto will give me a Melonhead cover. Punisher will give me an Elektra cover. So, I can champion Melonhead, Elektra, or Ant-Man. Who should I champion?
Melonhead.
Ray?
Ant-Man. Oh, man. All right, so even though I was really, you know, hyping up Elektra,
yes,
I have to say she's third on that list.
Right.
Okay. I do love me the Professor X, but I have been crushed by Ant-Man so many times, unexpectedly. Like,
well, Small Town Crooks always drives me crazy, but yeah. I use characters who put out tiles. So.
I don't know. I think Ant-Man's going to be at the top of my list there.
No way. Okay. There's too many characters who will let you make criticals, and then Giant Melonhead appears on the screen, yeah, and the damage just starts rocking at that point.
That's true.
See, I'm of the same thought as Craig, who said, I've played against Ant-Man so much, and he's crushed me so much. Whereas I think when I see Professor X on the opposing team, he's the first person I take out.
Yeah,
right.
He doesn't make it five turns. He's dead. Like, all of my attention is on him. And I'm afraid that if I champion him, that's going to happen. I'm going to get frustrated and never play him.
Well, I mean, the computer doesn't do that. Doesn't play that smart.
Right. But if you're going up in PvP and you're using Charles,
yeah, everyone takes him out first.
The target.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
right.
Yeah, and I do that when I go up when I see Charlie's Angels all the time. You know, I always just immediately kill Chuck first.
Right.
Right.
Because when he first came out, and I think I've told this story before, and I know I sent screenshots to Ray back when. When he first came out, I was at an airport somewhere, flying back from Austin, I think. And Melonhead, I was fighting against Melonhead, and I didn't understand Melonhead at that time because he was brand new. I had killed off the other two people I was fighting, and it was down to me and Melonhead, who promptly went invisible in a space that I could not get to, started strengthening his own tiles, and I literally could not do anything. I was doing righteous uppercuts for 1 point of damage. And he couldn't kill me, but I couldn't do anything. It was the most infuriating thing of all time. He had multiple protect tiles on the board that were taking away, like, I don't know. Do you remember what it was when I told you back then, Ray? It was, I don't know, 600 apiece or more?
No, it was more than that. Thousands. It was in the thousands.
Yeah, because the righteous uppercut does, what, 4,000 or 5,000?
Something like that.
Yeah, it was 1 point of damage.
Ugh.
Righteous uppercut for one. And I'm like, oh, okay. So when he wasn't invisible, you know, I couldn't hurt him. And then he would just go invisible again.
Right. So this is, and this is the other thing, of course, as we discussed before about, are we looking to make these games last longer? And if I'm playing Xavier and he's my last character, it's going to just take forever.
Yeah.
Either for me to whittle away at my opponent, or me to have an invisibility token, or tons and tons of defend tiles, and it's just going to last forever.
Or for me to poop on.
So, I'm going with Ant-Man.
Oof.
To do so, I have to sell a 2-star, because I need that ISO.
Oh, come on. I wouldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
Okay. A week ago, I said there's no way I'd be able to sell a 2-star. But
right, unless it's Moonstone.
Okay, it's not. It's going to be 2-star Thor.
Oh, ooh. I use him every day.
Only because I don't use him as much as I used to, and I already have 3 covers that I'm sitting on, and I could just replace him with those. So I still have him on my roster. He's just now a piddling chump.
Right.
Yeah, I use him every day, though. Every day I use Thor.
See, he used to be one of my favorite 2-stars, but again, I use Magneto more, I use Hawkeye more, all those sort of characters more. So, now with all that ISO, I'm going to level Ant-Man all the way up to 270. Baboom! spend another 12,500 to champion him, throw that cover in there, and let's see what I get from that cover. Come on, more Ant-Mans. Nope, it's Big Pawn, the Big Punisher, the Punisher Max.
Punisher to the Max.
Punisher to the Max. So, I would say it was an eventful evening for me.
That's a roster-changing event right there.
I wanted this appearance to be special.
All right, I did not win the Crash of the Titans this week, so I'm going to have to spend some CP. I'm up to 378, though, so I'll spend some.
Wow! So I thought I was hot with my 107.
Yeah, well, I've been hoarding it because I don't ever have hero points, so I don't want to open things to get characters that I can't recruit. Because I don't want to sell any characters because I'm weird. So I'm going to use 20 of them and open up a Classic Legends and not get an Old Man Logan because that's what happens. So let's see. It's a 4-star.
Ooh.
It is a yellow X-Force Wolverine.
Oh, that's the one I needed.
Where's your Wolverine at?
That now gets him to 323.
Oh, okay. He's so powerful.
I never get covers for him, so that's fine. That's fine. That'll work out.
Yeah, I have him at 276 now, and man, he is a machine.
Speaking of, you know what's the most infuriating thing again about that Deadpool fight the other day that you walked through?
Yeah.
Is that I was dying to recovery by X-Force.
Mm-hmm.
That killed me, I think, 3 times. I didn't match it away. He would intentionally match it away and kill me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, this is ridiculous.
I do that with my Wolverine all the time.
Man.
All right. I'm going to open that latest Legends that I got from that Deadpool that we just mentioned. And I'm getting a 4-star. It is a second Drax cover.
Yeah, there you go.
Secret weapon.
That's the one where he hides in the shadows.
Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it?
Jumps out and punches you in the face.
I haven't used the Drax that I've already got, but that gives me one black and one purple. So, all right. Starting to get up.
Good deal.
Yeah, I can use at least.
I shockingly have more Drax covers than, like, I ended up getting a bunch. Mine's at 213.
Wow.
Right, it was just like, it was one of those runs where I got just a ton of covers on them. Like, there was a couple weeks ago on standard tokens, I was getting a low key, like, on every 5th standard cover. It was crazy. And low key currently is my highest, he was until the Kamala Khan event. You know, until we got a bunch of Kamala Khan covers, but he was my highest champion at 192 because I just got like so many covers from off standards. Lastly, just to close out with the big, the crazy Jean, the 5-star Jean, I threw some ISO in her to get her up to level 375. So we're rocking and rolling with hot fire with her.
Wow.
Holy crap.
She's okay. She's 242 currently.
Wow.
That's not a target. I don't know what is.
Oh, yeah. So you probably did well in the super crappy Children of the Atom event.
I did okay.
Which
because
consisted
again,
of every team I fought was Old Man Logan hanging out with Phoenix. And I was like, oh.
Well, again, I use Old Man Logan and Phoenix as my go-to PvP team anyway. So the fact that the both of them were boosted, it was just like, yeah, let's just keep going. Here we go. Like, it wasn't even fun.
Again, I hate all of you people and your Old Man Logans.
All right.
We're going to pass this to you. Tell us about the podcast network.
All right. Head over to soontobenamednetwork.com or soontobenamednetwork.tumblr.com, where it is a conglomeration of like-minded individuals and the podcast that they do. You could find them there. And hey, if members of the podcast network appear on another podcast, it gets mentioned in there as well. Right. Or if you're a friend of mine and you say, hey, could you plug this? I'll plug it for you too. But the actual things that are in the network are this very show, Puzzle Warriors 3, the shows that I appear on, which are Longbox Heroes and Longbox Heroes After Dark. The only two shows on the network that don't begin with the letter P or have a word that begins with P in them, like Fresher in Parlance, Profane Arguments, Prodigal Son Podcast, Podvocacy, and Prime Defective.
That's because you're sponsored by Cinnabon, and, you know, there's no P's in Cinnabon.
Right, they don't even let you pee in the Cinnabon. You have to go outside. you have to use the bathroom in the Hallmark next door.
Hey, thanks. All right, I think this show has gone on way too long.
Yeah.
For our one member alliance member who wanted a really long show, this is a really long show. It probably won't be nearly as long as as we think it is, because Ray's probably going to edit this thing. So for your edification on my end, we're 2 hours in. So I don't think Ray's going to put up a 2-hour show. So
probably not.
I hope he does.
Maybe we can make the uncut version, Ray, and you can edit down to the normal time and then just post this whole thing as is.
I don't know. That sounds like a lot of work, but maybe.
For the hardcore people, they can have the uncensored, not that there was anything that needed censored, but the unedited version.
Patreon exclusive.
Oh.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Maybe, yeah. I don't know. Could be. So that's all. I just want to thank everybody for joining us. That's all for this week. As always, check for updates at PuzzleWarriors3.com, the iTunes, the Podomatic, the Stitcher. Check us out on Reddit, in the Marvel Puzzle Quest subreddit, on the D3 forums. Leave us comments on one of those media, and we will try to bring them up during the listener comments section. Anything you want to hear on the show, talk about, please bring it up to us. If you think all of our thoughts are stupid, that's cool too. Tell us about that. If you want to throw us a bone, you can click on the Amazon banner, buy something there, we get a few cents. If you want to throw us more cents, become a patron. Follow the link on our homepage. And some, like, other fine folks, some named Jeff, some named something else.
Some named Dave.
Some named Dave.
I think there might be a Josh in there, too.
Could be. There could be lots of. But join that group if you want to give us lots of money. Not a lot to you, a lot to us, because it pays for the bandwidth and the server storage and all that good stuff. But that's what we got. Goodbye for now. And remember, kids, mutton chops are for either for Elvis or for eating. That is all. Good night.
I like that one. I like that.
Good night, everyone.
Is that the music at the end? Yeah.
I don't know. I've never listened to our show.
Oh, see, I'm the same way. Like, without Brian as the editor, we don't have the opener closing music anymore. And Todd was like, oh, we could just, like, kind of sing it ourselves. And I'm like, that means we would have to listen to our own podcast. Are you listening to the podcast? No. Am I listening to my podcast? No. I mean, he's like, all right, well, there just won't be any music anymore. So I could stop the recording now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.